Also, welcome back as our preacher this evening, the Reverend William McRae. Tomorrow, Monday night, is the children's meeting at 7 p.m. And this incoming week is also our church week of prayer, which will be on Monday night at 8:15 and then Tuesday to Friday at 8 p.m. And we'd encourage everyone who can to come to those meetings as often as they can. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday school at 10:30 and the services 11:30 and 7. And the preacher will be the Reverend Ormerod. And this month of January is our turn to broadcast on Radio Star. So please pray for these broadcasts that go out every Wednesday afternoon. And there's a youth rally in Auchnacloy Church tonight at 8:45 p.m. where the Reverend John Wagner is testifying. And the retiring offering tonight is for the Building Fund.
We want to welcome each and every one of you tonight, and it's lovely to see you, and we pray that God will bless our coming together as we open God's precious and God's holy word. We're going to sing together our opening hymn, 241, sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life, let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life, a grand old gospel hymn, and we're going to stand together. Let's sing it with all of our hearts, beautiful words, wonderful words. Amen. Let's still our hearts in the presence of the Lord tonight and seek the face of God in prayer. Every child of God praying that we might know the help and the blessing and the power of God and the proclamation of God's precious holy word. And this time of worship might be a special time, indeed a blessed time before the Lord. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow in thy sacred and thy most holy presence in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who is the only King and head of his church. We thank thee, we praise thee, our God, for the privilege of coming to thy house. And we were indeed glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. We thank thee, we come to thy house to worship thee. acknowledging that thou art God alone, and beside thee there is none else. Acknowledging, our God, that in thee we live, and in thee we move and have our very being. And, O God, thou didst breathe into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul. But we realize tonight that the solemn reality is that not only did Job acknowledge that thou art the one who art the giver of life, but he gave, but he also takes away. And we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. We ask of thee, Lord, as we come to worship thee, as we're in a new year, and Lord, thou knowest the needs of every one. And O God, our Heavenly Father, thou knowest every heart. Every man, woman, boy, or girl is gathered in thy house tonight. And we have all special needs. As our faces differ, so our needs differ. But, O God, we thank thee that thy word reminds us, my God shall supply all your need. Help us, our God, to trust thee for that. And even as we go into a new week in thy will, help us, our God, not to be overcome with the cares of life, but help us to be overcomers through Christ Jesus. We thank thee, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so tonight we come to worship thee, realizing that thou art Lord God Almighty. We thank thee that thou dost sit on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants of the world are but as grasshoppers in thy sight. We thank thee, our God, that thou hast saved many of us. And, O God, I pray that if there's one tonight unsaved, that thou will bring each one, yea, the last one, to saving faith in Christ. Realize that salvation is of the Lord, and it's not the work of man, but it is of thee alone. And, O God, I pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou will make that real in this meeting tonight, that thou will help us, preacher, simply to preach Christ, to exalt the Savior. For we would cry out with all our hearts, O God, I cry out from the depths of my soul, I would see Jesus. O God, I pray, let me get a glimpse of my blessed Savior afresh as I open thy precious and thy holy word. Remember all, every faithful testimony for truth and for the gospel's sake, those that are holding forth at this moment, preaching the book and preaching the blood. Oh my God, I pray that you'll help faithful ministers of the gospel of Christ. Help us, our God, across all of our churches. Oh God, young men and older men standing in the pulpit preaching Christ. We pray that thou wilt, Lord, just bless them. And oh God, give them the joy of pointing souls to Jesus. Lord, be with us tonight. Do us good in this service. Pour out of thy Holy Spirit upon us and bless our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for his sake and glory alone. Amen. Amen. We're turning to hymn 270 as we continue to worship God. 270, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory. Glory to his name. 270, and we'll stand to worship God as we sing. Now let's really sing it with all our hearts tonight. Amen. Jesus so sweetly abides within. Now let's really hear you sing it, ladies, verse number 2. Now to my heart was the blood applied, glory, glory to his name. He paid that debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. And now I sing redemption's song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul, set me free. I'm glad that did all my sin erase. And now I sing redemption's song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Oh, that glory to see him on that day. Then I shall sing redemption's song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. And now I sing redemption's song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my
my sight. And now I am happy all the day. And now I sing redemption song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
And now I sing redemption song, amazing grace. There's still cleansing power in the precious blood. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. We are trying hard to get the message through this land. There's still power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the blood. With this precious blood, man's soul can be set free. I'm so glad that in God's plan, He offers sinful man cleansing power in the blood of the Lamb. Through the blood, God makes the vilest sinner clean. Yes, it's all through the blood of the Lamb. Though throughout the ages men have been redeemed, there's still power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the blood. With this precious blood, man's soul will be set free. I'm so glad that in God's plan, He offers sinful man cleansing power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the blood. With this precious blood, man's soul can be set free. I'm so glad that in God's plan, He offers sinful man cleansing power in the blood of the Lamb. There's still power in the blood of the Lamb. There's still power in the blood of the Lamb. I want us to open our Bibles this evening. We'll read some verses at this time from God's precious, infallible truth in the book of Romans and the chapter number 10. The 10th chapter of the book of Romans. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word. And reading at verse number 1. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a knowledge of God, but not according, or a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they believe on him in whom they have not believed, or call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious truth for his name's sake and for his glory. Amen. I want us to turn to sing another hymn, and your offering for God's work will be received at this time. It's the hymn 324. 324. And we'll keep our seats at the singing of the beginning of this hymn. And we're going to sing, I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger, and I felt not my load. 324, we'll keep our seats, and the offering for God's work at this time will be received. Sing the rest of the hymn.
Thank you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, oh, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to and brace my fear, relief. A precious gift that grace appeared. The hour I first many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Oh, amazing, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved an old wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, praise the Lord, tonight I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, oh, but now I see.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Just let's bow our heads before the Lord, and we'll ask the Lord to bless us as we come to the ministry of his precious word. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the words that Newton wrote. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And Lord, that's where every one of us in our sin was found. In the pit of our sin. We thank thee that the psalmist was able to say, he drew me from that fearful pit and from that miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, establishing my way. We thank you put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. So Lord, we thank thee for every day that you've given to us. Every day is a gift. And we return thee thanks for this day, this thine own day. We thank thee for the time that we're spending in thy presence, in thy house, around thy word. Bless us tonight and do us good, for we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. You know, before I came out from the minister's room, I was looking at the wall there, and I noticed the picture of the old building of 6 Mile Cross. I remember preaching in that old building. Now, that shows you how young I am, because to be able to preach back there, it's no longer there anymore, but thank God for every precious memory of the preaching of God's word in that wee hall. But you know, no matter with all the passing of the years, thank God the message is still the same. The hymn writer says, 'Tis old, yet ever new. And so it is. You know, when I ask a person a question, where they would be tomorrow if they were to die today, I get many different answers. Job asks the question in Job chapter 14. He said, first of all, man that is born of a woman is a few days. And even at his longest, that's true. 70 years or more, if God gives you the strength. But life at best, the hymn writer says, is very brief. And we need to realize just how short our time is. He says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And that's also true. Well, I said one time, trouble, whether either going into it, going through it, or going out of it. And you know, in many ways, that's true. Because the Bible says, and God's word's always true, man is a few days and full of trouble. And then he says this in verse number 10, but man dieth. And that's also true. There's not one of us need to challenge the authority of that statement, but man dieth. The Bible says we all must needs die. It tells us in the book of Hebrews, it is appointed unto men once to die. And there's not a person here, save the Lord's return, there is not a person that's listening to my voice now, but my friend, you will die someday. It'll not be somebody else's death that's recorded, it'll be yours or mine. Because we all must, not might, but we all must, needs die. And so God says, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And then asks the question, and where is he? And so that brings me back to the question which I ask people. I said, listen, if you were to die today, where would you be tomorrow? Where would you be? And people answer that question in many different ways. Well, some people say, well, I don't really know. My friend, is that wise? Here's the most inevitable thing that's facing each and every one of us. Man dieth, wasteth away. Where is he? He's going somewhere. And the question is, where will you be? Where will that somewhere be? Now, the Bible's very clear. It's one of two places. It's either heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, or it's in hell without him. And so the challenge is very clear. Listen, where is he? Where will you be? Either heaven or hell. And yet people say, in answer to the question, well, I don't really know. Wouldn't you need to know where you're going? Would the wise man not want to know where he's going? And yet men and women are traveling through this world, my friend, aimlessly living an aimless life, because as far as they're concerned, listen, they're just living for today and they forget about tomorrow. Yet God says, boast not yourself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what this day will bring forth. So, well, I don't know. And then other people say to me, you know, preacher, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Let me tell you, my dear friend, where you're going to be there forever. You and I are only here for a short time in this old world. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength it'll be 80 years. Let me tell you, my friend, I don't know how many years God is going to give you, but the psalmist again says, Lord, they're short. Short. But where you're going, friend, you're going to be forever. Listen, don't you think that you will somehow be annihilated and they'll put you into the earth and people will walk away and say, well, that's the end of him or that's the end of her. Let me tell you, my friend, that's the full statement. The word of God says, after this, it's appointed unto men, not by them, but unto men once to die. Yes, but after this, the judgment. And you're going to meet God. No, you're not going to meet the moderator, and you're not going to meet the elders, and you're not going to meet the members of the congregation. No, you're meeting God. And God's appointed that day, and God's appointed that appointment. And I can tell you, my friend, you and I can make appointments in this world, and man can break them, but you'll never break the appointment that God has set. Because God's declared it. He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to meet God. That's why Amos the prophet said this. Prepare to meet thy God. Meet thy God. Meet God you must and meet God you will, friend. And what the prophet says is, prepare. Be ready for it. And yet people say to me, well, I'm not sure. Let me tell you, my friend, if you're not sure of heaven, if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you, it's not heaven you're going to. It's hell. And there's no coming back. There's no further opportunity for your salvation. And yet when I asked them that question, the vast majority of people say to me, well, I hope I'd be in heaven. I hope I'd be in heaven. And then I press the issue and I say to them, listen, you say you hope to be in heaven. Well, tell me, how do you think or how do you hope to be there? How are you going to get there? And once again, the answers that people give you can be varying. Some people say, well, you know, well, I'm not really a bad person, you know, Mr. McRae. Now, who gave you the estimation? You're not really a bad person. Really, it's yourself. Here's your self-estimation. I'm not really a bad person. Or some people say, you know, I realize that I've done bad things in my life, but I believe that what good things I've done in my life will outweigh the bad things I've done in my life, and therefore I'll be able to get into heaven. I just hope that my good things will outweigh the bad things. Tell me, where did you get that? Where did you find that? That's certainly not in God's word. That's the philosophy of man. Then I hear some people say to me, well, you know, preacher, I believe I'll be in heaven because God would never send anyone to hell. God could never send anyone to hell. You see, I believe in a God of love. And a God of love could never send a person to hell. And therefore, I believe then I'd be able to make it to heaven. When God can't send anybody to hell, then I'm going to get to heaven. There's only one or two places. Let me test that again, friend. Well, first of all, let me tell you, a man that dies in his sin and goes to hell because he has chosen hell. It's not that God sends you to hell, my friend. It's your sin that takes you to hell. Your sin. And then I ask this question. If nobody's going to hell, because God can't send anybody to hell, tell me, why did Jesus in this book talk more and warn more about men and women needing to have their souls saved and ready for heaven? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ say in John's Gospel chapter 16 about a man who died in his sin? He had no time for the things of God. Yes, he knew the scriptures. He knew about repentance. He knew the gospel. He knew he needed to be saved, but he did not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says the rich man also died and was buried. And in where? What was that next word? And in hell. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he cried, I am tormented in this flame. Listen, my friend. If nobody's going to hell, was Jesus lying? Because this was the Savior who said that. You say to me, it's only a parable. No, my friend. Look at chapter 16 of the book of Luke's Gospel. It's not a parable. Jesus says, there was a certain rich man. And to prove it's not a parable, then he says, and there was a man called Lazarus who went to Abram's bosom. Now, he didn't name the rich man who went to hell, and I'll tell you why. Because Jesus said concerning the unconverted, sinner, I never knew you. I never knew you. But the Lord knoweth them that are his, and he called the man, the poor man, not because of his poverty to get to heaven, my friend. Neither did the rich man go to hell because of his riches. It was all because of the relationship that they had with Jesus Christ. And the rich man had no relationship with Christ. All he had was the things of the world for time and nothing for God's eternity. Lazarus had nothing as far as life was concerned. And in actual fact, Lazarus, the Bible says, was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. He hadn't even anybody to carry him to a burial place. Do you know why? Because in those days, the poor man was thrown in the dump. The garbage dump. Not so the other. He died and was buried. Yes. You could have heard, I'm sure, that preacher standing at the side of his grave and or in the church and saying what a wonderful person he was. That wasn't the estimation that Christ gave. For Jesus says he died and was buried and in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being torn. Then other people said to me in reply to my question, how are you going to heaven? Well, he says, you know, well, I go to church. Or I read my Bible and I say my prayers. You see, I believe in God. I believe there's a God. Many people don't believe in God. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In actual fact, in that verse in Psalm 14, where it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, the words there is are actually in italics. They were put in for the flow of meaning. And you can read it in actual fact in the original, and this is what it says. The fool has said in his heart, no God. No. I don't need you, God. I don't want you, God. There's only a fool is headed out to God's eternity. Living without God and without hope, Ephesians chapter 2 talks about. And then dying in sin without God. You say, well, I believe there's a God, preacher. Surely that's enough. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the devil believes and trembles. Can I ask you a question? Have you a fear of God? Have you trembled at the thought of meeting God? As you are. Meeting God in your sin? You see, head knowledge will never take you to heaven, my friend. It's a heart experience. If thou shalt believe in thine heart. Verse number 9 of chapter 10 of Romans. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, friend, how do we get to heaven? What's the way to heaven? Because you're headed out to God's eternity. Where will you be? Where will you be in God's eternity? And if you want to get to heaven, what is God's way? I didn't say what's man's way. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12 says, there's a way that seemeth right to a man. And I have no doubt that people say all those other things that I've talked about already. They think, as far as they're concerned, that's all they need. That's man's way. I don't need God's salvation. I don't need to be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again, but he must have been a very bad man. No, friend. Nicodemus was a religious man. Nicodemus, in actual fact, was one who tithed of all his possessions. Nicodemus was one of the leading men in the Sanhedrin, one of the religious leaders. Nicodemus was one who prayed. Nicodemus was earnest about the issue of his soul because he came to the Lord Jesus because he had a concern. But Nicodemus wasn't saved, and Jesus said to religious Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what's the way to heaven? Well, the Lord Jesus answered that in John chapter 14 and verse 6. And Jesus said this. Do you remember Thomas turned to him and said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. The Lord Jesus said, I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then he says, I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know what Thomas said to him? He said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, Thomas, I am the way. I am. Notice, not a way. He says, I'm the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but. Listen to this again, friend. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And then he says, no man. Doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's but by Jesus. And I want you to get this tonight, friend. If you want to get to heaven, there's only one way to heaven. And Jesus says, I'm the way. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only way to heaven. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Separation from God. But Jesus says, if you come through him, yes, he's the way to the Father. And he's the way to home. Some people say to me, Richard, but are you not taking this too far? Surely if I have a belief in God, then surely that's all God requires. Turn your Bible for a moment to the book of Matthew's Gospel, to chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Verse number 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, friend. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said that he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. He is the way to heaven. And yet the Lord Jesus said there shall be many that will say to him on that day when they stand before him, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in all these many wonderful works? Lord, Lord. But Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. You see, friend, it's so possible for men and women just to have a profession. But of no possession. And all of you are relying upon is some profession way back years and years ago. And you having an up-to-date walking with God and walk with God, my friend. Then there's something wrong. You see, these people profess the name Lord, Lord. Have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. And there's men and women today, and they've sat in churches all across the world, and they breathed the name of the Lord and sung the name of the Lord. And yet their heart is not right with God. And Jesus said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he preached his first message was about repentance. Except ye repent, ye perish. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 3, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What's this message of repentance? You see, friend, there are many today who are sorry for their sin, but have never turned from it. And there is in repentance, there is a change of mind concerning sin, which leads to a change of heart. And a man who loves a sin, you see, whenever a man repents, he has got to turn away from a sin. It's a turning away from his sin to the Savior. He can't break the power of sin or the chains of sin that bind him. He hasn't the power to do it. And even others have tried perhaps to set them free, but they can't do it. But like the demon of Gadara, thank God when Jesus came, Jesus set him free. For he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, it says this, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And I tell you, my dear friends, you can have all the meetings you want, and men and women can sign all the decision cards they want, but if their life is not changed, if they haven't turned, if they haven't repented of their sin and turned from their sin and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and by faith received Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord and become a new creature in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, my friend, all the professions of the day will never take them to heaven. A new creation. You just can't go on in your sin. Say, well, I'd say, Lord Jesus, save me. And then I'll just go on, carry on my sin. And I can just go back to my sinful life. And no, no, friend, that's not repentance. That's not repentance. And Jesus said, except you repent, what? You perish. I want to tell you, the Savior was a straightforward preacher. He didn't play around with the souls of men and women. He looked them in the eye and he faced them with the truth. Why? Because he loved their souls. I led a man to the Lord Jesus just over a week ago. 93 years of age. And received Jesus Christ as a Savior. He heard me preaching as a young lad on the hill over 50 years ago. And God in mercy followed after him, and he called on the Lord to save him. He challenged his minister one day why he didn't preach the gospel some years ago. He said, because the people don't want it. They don't want it. Let me tell you, my friend, that preacher had only one job to do. If he wasn't willing to preach what God had sent him to preach, it was to get out of the pulpit, get back to an ordinary day's job, because he wasn't called to preach the word of God. Paul said to Timothy, he says, preach the word. And the responsibility that is laid upon the preacher's heart tonight is not to entertain the crowd, but to preach the word. And who is the Word? It's Jesus Christ. The living Word. It's Jesus Christ. Before I finish tonight, I want us to think of a desperate dilemma. Because God's Word tells us that we're in trouble. The sinner's in trouble. Just turn to chapter 3 of the book of Romans for a moment. This is what God says in verse number 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written. You see, where is it written? Psalm 14, that I mentioned earlier on. This is where it was written. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Go down to verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all men, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned. It doesn't say some. It doesn't even say most. But it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. People say, I'll do the best I can, preacher. But after all they're doing, friend, they'll always come short. You'll not make it on your own, friend. You've got a problem. And what is the problem? It's the problem of sin. That's why God sent his son into this world. But people are saying to me, but I'm not a sinner. Go down the streets of Oma. Go down the streets of Six Mile Cross. Get the drunkard. Get the immoral person. Get the person that's living in the depths and the gutters of sin. I might talk to them like that. But I'm not a sinner, preacher. God says you are. God says there's no difference. Oh, the number of your sins might be different. And the particular sin that you have in your heart may be different from that drunkard. But I tell you this, God says there's no difference. All have sinned. All have sinned. Now that's God's word, friend. And either you believe it or not. Either you take God at his word, friend. Because remember, you're going to meet him. He's got the final say. You're going to meet God. It's not the preacher you're meeting. You're going to meet God, friend. And you need to get ready for it. And God says that you are a sinner. And so am I. By nature, I'm a sinner. I was born in sin, the Bible says. And I was shapen in iniquity. My bent was towards sin. And my back was toward God. And people say, well, I'm not a sinner. Then turn to Romans chapter 10. Is this you? Verse number 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Do you know why a man doesn't acknowledge he's a sinner? Well, let me give you two reasons. First of all, the pride of his heart. He's not willing to humble himself, because it's a humbling fact, friend, to come to the place to acknowledge, I'm a sinner. And I tell you before God, until you come to that place and acknowledge you're a sinner, you will never, listen to me carefully, you will never be saved. You'll never be saved until you see your need. Until you acknowledge, until you get rid of the pride of your heart, friend, and humble yourself before God. You remember Zacchaeus was up the tree and the Savior was passing by. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come on, come down. Get out of the tree. I'll go to your house. And he did. And maybe there's someone up here tonight and you're up the tree of pride. In actual fact, you resent the preacher saying that you're a sinner. Let me say this. Your argument's not with me, friend. All I am is the mouthpiece for God. God says all have sinned. And God says all have come short of the glory of God. But the pride of man's heart balks at that. Actually gets angry at that. How dare he? How dare that upstart stand in this pulpit, come the whole way to 6 mile cross and insult me and tell me that I'm a sinner? They far better stay at home if they didn't. Because I wouldn't be faithful to God. Because God says all, including me, all have sinned. And the second thing is this. It says, they being ignorant of God's righteousness. You see, if a man realized the righteousness of God, then he would realize, I can never make that in my own. The standard of divine righteousness, the character of divine law of God that removes the foolishness of man's heart that imagines that somehow they're good enough for God. Jeremiah chapter 17 says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things. The word deceitful there is the word crooked. It's polluted. The heart of man is so crooked and polluted above all things and desperately wicked, dangerously sick. And yet the tragedy is this, friend. just like society, there's many a man, woman sitting in their home tonight. And they're not in hospital. But they're dangerously ill. They don't know what is going on inside. And some of them wouldn't go to the hospital to find out because they're afraid of the diagnosis. And God says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then God's word also goes on to say, all your righteousness are as filthy rags. And God said. So there's someone here tonight, and somehow you think you'll make it yourself to get to heaven. I want to tell you before God, friend, you'll never be there. You'll always fall short. You'll always miss. I've got to finish. Time's away. So what's the answer? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. Thank God. Neither is there, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. No other name. What is that name? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. And I'm glad I have good news to tell you tonight. Because for the sinner, praise God, God has provided the Savior. God's provided. God has made provision for man's sin in the blood of and in the finished work and in the cross work of Jesus Christ. Thank God the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. Desperately sick. But thank you, God, the great physician is the Lord Jesus. Do you remember Paul and Silas were in prison? The Philippian jailer, not only was the prison shaken, but so was he. And he came out and fell before them. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they say unto him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the word believe on means to put your whole weight upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't rely on myself. I can't save myself. I can't change my heart. I can't set myself free from sin, but praise God, Jesus died. And on the cross of Calvary, our sins were laid on him. And he was wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Praise God, with his stripes I'm healed. It's through the cross of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. And thank God, on the third day he rose again, according to Scriptures. There is a Savior. And thank God you can start this year knowing Christ as your Savior. As many as receive him, not the church, not the sacraments, but him, salvation is in Christ
alone. It's not Christ plus baptism. It's not Christ plus confirmation. It's not Christ plus anything. It's the Lord Jesus. He's the Savior. A young lad on a wintry night in 1849, at 15 years of age. It was a very stormy night, a great snowstorm. Young lad was intending to go to his own church, but never made it. And so along the way, he noticed that little Methodist, primitive Methodist church. And he slipped in under the gallery. And listen, the snowstorm even stopped the preacher from coming. The preacher never arrived. And so one of the old men of the congregation had to get up. He hadn't anything prepared, but he couldn't go, he wouldn't let the meeting pass and dismiss the people without bringing a word from God. And so the old man stepped up there to the pulpit and he opened his Bible, a thin looking old man, and he opened his Bible in Isaiah 55 or 45 and verse 22. And he read these words, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." He didn't know what to say next, but so he repeated it again. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." And then for 10 minutes, he tried to say a wee word, and then he closed the meeting. But before he did, he looked and he noticed this strange young lad, this stranger, just a bit of a lad, 15 years of age, sitting there onto the gallery. The preacher fixed his eye upon him. And he said, "Young man, you look very miserable. And you'll always be miserable," he said. "Miserable in life and miserable in death if you don't obey my text. But if you obey it now, this moment, you'll be saved." And then he lifted up his hands. Looking at the young man, he shouted at the top of his voice. He says, "Young man, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus Christ. Look, you have nothing to do but look and live." That night, that young man, Spirit of God got a grip of him. And he trusted Christ as a Savior. That lad became the greatest preacher practically that the world has ever known. That young lad was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Look. You see, friend, when you're looking to Jesus, listen to me, you've got to look away from everything else. Church can't save you. Creed can't save you. Head knowledge can't save you. But thank God Jesus saves. He's the only Savior. Tell me, will you look to him tonight? Will you call upon him? Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ alone? Not in your good works. Not in self-righteousness. Not in church attendance. Not in Bible knowledge. But believe on, rest your soul upon the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, for thank God he finished it. And God was satisfied with his work. And thank God the grave couldn't hold him. And up from the grave, he arose. Look to Jesus. Look and live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word, and I pray that by thy Holy Spirit,
that thou wilt take thy word and write it upon the hearts of those that are gathered here. And there's one in this gathering tonight, and they're not saved. They know nothing of thy so great salvation. Please don't let them go home without you, Lord. But help them to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt save them by thy grace. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If there's someone here tonight, say, "Preacher, I know not the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I would love to know him." Then don't put it off, friend. Remember, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We'd love to point you to Christ. Let us know. Speak to us. But remember, it's Jesus who saves, not the preacher. May God save you. Amen.